Christmas episode
144.
That's right. 144. We've been doing this once a month. We've been doing this for 12 years now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because it's 12 times 12.
12 times 12.
I broke that down for you in the last episode.
Speaking of the last episode, there are some things that we need to touch upon. One is the fact that it now has been proven over and over and over again.
Over and over. What more can I do?
That my pronunciation of the word
experiment
is proper, in that your is it pronunciation or pronunciation? This is something else we can argue over, though.
Pronunciation.
I'm not going to go with that. Pronunciation. Pronunciation.
There you go. That's
pronunciation.
Well, how about we just experiment with it?
Wait, no. Experiment is wrong. I mean, the people wrote back in legions, basically proving that I was right.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
And that while I may not know everything about SQL Server, I know everything about
SQL Server.
About grammar in the American English language.
I don't know. W. Kemp says, I looked at on dictionary.com and it's pronounced both ways. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
He's wrong. Oh, he's wrong.
Well, it's not him. It's dictionary.com. Like, the only thing that he could possibly be wrong on is incorrectly citing the source.
Well, he could read the site wrong.
Mm.
He could be, you know, looking at the information in front of him and not quite, you know, having it register properly in his brain. And he's, you know, that happens to people, not me.
Of course, not you ever.
Another thing I want to talk about, besides the fact that I was right, because, I mean, how long can I bash you for this?
I don't know, considering this is the first time in about 12 years.
So you're admitting
that
you've actually
had the Niners on your side.
No, that I was right.
Just because it's a popular opinion on the internet.
Experiment.
Well, these,
we have smart viewers. We have smart viewers. Not only do we have smart viewers, but we have really fashion conscious viewers, because apparently my jacket from last week was a huge hit. People, the devs, some people say are not really that fashion conscious, they wanted to know where I got it.
Yeah.
They wanted to talk about the
internet. I think you just destroyed your argument there, didn't you? Where you're like, all these people on the internet that aren't fashion conscious at all.
I said some people thought that maybe our audience wasn't fashion conscious, but they've proven to not only be smart,
or perhaps you are now just becoming one of them.
No, I think they're rising up to my level of fashion consciousness, which is clearly cutting edge, fashion forward.
Yeah,
the old plaid flannel button down. It's not flannel, but yeah, they love my jacket. They love the lining. So I got it at Buckle, y'all. It was on sale.
Great.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say, Paul?
No, I think that should pretty much get it started. Except for there was what I called a humble brag. Lee Campbell said that it's also known as a champagne problem.
Is that a luxury problem?
Yeah, a luxury problem. I guess they're all different names for these types of things. Because we were talking about in the last episode how Windows 8 is booting so fast that we might not be able to make it easy for people.
I don't know. Personally, when there's champagne involved, there are no problems. All right, so last week I was down. I had the fortunate, the good luck to go down to Los Angeles for E3.
Oh, that was nice. I got to go to Michigan.
Also not that nice.
Really?
Was the weather nice?
It was before I arrived and after I left.
You bring the doom and gloom.
I know. Everyone.
I've had that feeling for a few years now about you.
Yeah?
But luckily we shoot indoors.
Thankfully.
Anyway, obviously, a lot of buzz about some of the announcements Microsoft made at E3. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are announcing their new South Park game, Stick of Truth. Very exciting.
That was probably the best part of the keynote, because
everyone
else seemed like on the better side of corporate talking heads that were memorizing everything.
Right, and but these people came out with a little pizzazz.
Yeah, they said something like, you know, I'm really looking forward to Microsoft's smart screen because, you know, I want to watch this on my television while being hooked into my mobile device, while being hooked into my oven, while sitting in my refrigerator.
Yeah. You thought that was funny?
I thought it was pretty, I mean, it immediately trended on Twitter.
Yeah, because anything they say trends on Twitter. And for a full interview with them, why don't you go ahead and check my coverage on Channel 5.
Oh, you got to meet them?
Well, Tina did.
Oh, okay. Well, you're basically the same person.
But I published the video on her behalf.
Wow, look at that.
On Channel 9. Anyway, obviously, Gears of War Judgment, big news, Halo 4, very exciting. But what I want to talk about is our announcement of Smart Glass.
Yes.
So, if you haven't heard, Smart Glass is essentially an Xbox application where it's bringing together the use of the television screen, your slate, and your phone,
yeah.
your smartphone. So you can use your smartphone to control the playback and play controls for a movie, say, on your Xbox. Now, this isn't necessarily new because the Xbox Companion app
yes.
did that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I've actually played with that, and it works pretty well.
Pretty cool, though. But now what you can do with Smart Glass is it brings in all these other levels of content to say your not only your gaming experience, but your movie-watching experience. So if you're watching...
Game of Thrones.
I don't know Game of Thrones. Let's say you're watching something I've seen. Let's say you're watching Grease.
Okay, let's say that you're watching something that both of us have seen.
Let's say you're watching Dirty Dancing.
Okay, Dirty Dancing.
Okay,
right.
So you're watching Dirty Dancing.
So there could be like a map on there, and it shows that baby was put into a corner.
Right, over here.
And it's like that shows you where the
corner
is.
And then you want to know where that lake is, where they did that famous scene where he lifts her up.
Right.
All of that could be potential content
right.
there.
Perhaps even the outtakes from that.
Perhaps even. Or you're just like, who is that person in that scene? I know that person. You hit the little on-screen button, and it brings up all of the actors that are on screen at that moment.
Oh, amazing.
Which is cool. Yeah, and then, of course, info and bios and stuff like this. So all of this extra content that you're now going to be able to get using your slate and using your phone, watching this movie, or also game-related content, too, while
right.
playing a game.
Yeah, like they were showing that if you were going to play something like a sports game, like you could even draw out like your pattern that you want to run in football by dragging your hand across the screen and then, you know, sending it off to your Xbox.
Really, really cool stuff. And, you know, I think about it, and I know... Personally, when I sit at home and watch TV or watch a movie or whatever, I'm usually also either have my laptop in front of me or my phone and want to know what that song was. Like, I just watched this movie, Love and Other Drugs, with Jake Gyllenhaal and...
No, it doesn't matter who else is in it.
No, Anne Hathaway.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and at the end, this really pretty slow song plays, and I was like, oh my God, that's a really good song. How can I find out what that song is? So, of course, I went to the internet and found it out. But if I had this...
You didn't just, like... hit the little search button on your Windows phone and then hit the music icon and hold it up to the TV?
No, I didn't, because by the time that I was so mesmerized by the song while it was playing that when it was over, I was like, that really resonated with me. That really left an impression. I'm going to go find it, but it wasn't on the soundtrack to the movie. But, you know, anyway, I found it thanks to the good old worldwide internet.
Good job.
Yeah, I did. I found it. And it's actually a Vonda Shepard song.
Oh.
Yeah, you know Vonda.
Vonda,
from her Ally McBeal days.
Oh, man, she's the best.
Yeah. So all this information could be right there based on the content that the content providers give you.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the first generation experiences are and then like how we really embrace this type of complementary medium long term, because I know there's a lot of hardcore gamers out there that, you know, they really want to be engaged with their game and they don't want to constantly be like switching their gaze from the
For
screen
sure.
to a complementary device. But I think that...
You'll get pwned.
Possibly. And unless there are ways where like this actually brings a much more social or broadens the reach for what people can do. Like I can imagine, you know, there could be someone like less technical than me or less able to play a first party shooter game.
Right.
And she could sit next to me and like, you know, like just do little things on a slate device while I actually do the sniping.
Right.
Or like, you know, the camping, which is... what I'm quite good at. Or conversely, like, I could be watching something on Netflix that's like 2.5 stars.
Right.
That's just like a terrible movie. Mm-hmm. And I could just be like looking at all these details on the screen while, you know, said girlfriend is, you know, really intertwined
in
with
this terrible rom-com.
Ryan Gosling.
Right.
Drama
just
nonsense.
Awful. So there you go. Further proof that Microsoft really is working on bringing the three screens theory to life.
Yeah, very interesting stuff.
Smart Glass. All right, Paul. So in further news that it seems that future generations are really going to not be able to do anything for themselves.
Right.
That's right. Microsoft has created a new, is it an application, Onyx? It's pronounced Onyx.
Yeah, so it's a new application pronounced Onyx. Spelled O-N, curly brace, X, curly brace. And I would say it's both a combination of like an application as well as a platform.
And a website. Right. So essentially what it allows you to do is program your phone to run certain tasks, or rules, I think they call them.
Recipes,
at certain times. So, hey, every time I leave my office, I want it to text my boyfriend that, you know, I'm going to the bar. Or, right?
Like, have dinner ready for me when I get
That's
home.
That's right. Do the dishes, bitch. Or every time, you know, I get in my car, I want it to play this music app. Or
right.
when I'm running, I want it to, you know, direct me to the nearest yeah. McDonald's. Whatever you want it to do. It yeah. can do all of these things.
Yeah,
it's
actually a pretty interesting set of technology where they enabled this through a JavaScript API. So you can take these pre-made templates that they call recipes online and different building blocks and kind of mush them together. So if you're not a developer, you can kind of do like a drag and drop, and you can take and set pre-configured options and combine it all together. If you are a developer, you can take advantage of the API that they have exposed and build your own building blocks and your own recipes.
I think in the video about this, the woman says you can go wild.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she said you can get the code and just go wild.
Yeah.
Developers can now edit the code and go wild with it.
So here's my question, though. It's a Microsoft-developed application platform website,
yeah.
but it appears to just be for use on Android phones.
That's correct, yeah. So it's built on top of Android
things
phones.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Yeah, well, for me, I was like, oh, this totally makes sense because there are three major platforms out there right now between the iOS, Android, and Windows Phone.
Sure.
And the iOS and Windows Phone have a bit more of a controlled ecosystem to it. So if you want to get something to run on that phone,
mm-hmm.
you pretty much need to put it through our whole marketplace submission. And there are like a handful of carrier partners that we have.
Right, and this is sort of to optimize standardization so everyone yep. gets the same experience.
Right, and you know they might have a bit more low-level access to the device, but random developers out there don't. Whereas the Android platform is a bit more open,
mm-hmm.
And it's also less secure in certain ways. So you can basically put whatever you want on this this platform and this device under the covers,
mm-hmm.
So that you can have really low-level control over what goes on. So the folks in Microsoft Israel basically took that and they're running an experiment.
Yep.
On how they can basically do some of these newfangled tasks, and maybe someday this could also be built into future versions of the Windows Phone.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think of it as something like, you know,
experiment.
We all use the rules in Outlook, right?
Oh yeah.
Where if this is flagged, Paul, send it straight to trash.
Right.
You know, whatever sort of rules that you set up. Yeah. So it is something that I've become accustomed to using in that sense. So I could definitely see myself becoming accustomed to using it, you know, on my phone for even more daily tasks.
Yeah. There was actually a really interesting discussion on Hacker News, which had this guy. He had claimed that there was something else that he had done in his past that was similar to this, where, for example, if during certain time, he would basically detect when he was sleeping and when he wasn't sleeping. So when he was sleeping, it'd be like between certain hours and the phone hasn't moved for 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
he would turn off the ringer, and he would actually turn off like the cellular tower signal. So that way, it would conserve the battery life much more. And he's like, the phone that would previously work for 16 hours or 24 hours now could be extended to like 3 days worth of usage because he just had all these really intelligent ways of detecting of when you want to be using all the additional sensors.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just a push towards everything in our lives is becoming automated.
Yeah.
You know, your alarm goes off, your coffee makes itself, you can program your lights to come on, your heat to go to a certain temperature, and now you can program, you know, your phone to send text messages. Like, you really don't even need to walk through this life anymore.
Yeah.
It's just done for you.
I think we're only a couple years away from having the Matrix, where I can just sit there and have, like, the world just interact directly with my mind.
Nice.
Awesome.
Goals. All right, Paul, as you know, I'm a big fan of things being simplified into pretty little graphics.
Really?
And easy to understand images.
I wouldn't have guessed that about you.
Yes, long-form text, not my favorite. So, there's a neat little graphic on frugaldad.com where Jason, is Frugal Dad,
yep.
goes through and sort of writes down and weighs all of the positive things about Windows 8 and how he thinks it's going to fare, you know, once it's released to the world. And hopefully, I think his goal here is, you know, don't hate on 8. He's hoping to sort of boost the momentum and love for Windows 8 with all these little factoids about how great he thinks it is.
Yeah, I think that that you know he doesn't cover everything that's great, but he shows a few things that may not be as well known. Like I didn't even know about some of these. Like they have the Windows 8 USB, which is the first thing really listed on his graphic, where apparently you can take your documents and your settings and have it on a USB key and just like plug it into any Windows 8 PC and it loads up with all your settings.
You know what I find most interesting about this? Is that it's on a website called Frugal Dad.
Yeah.
And the website is Insights on Coupons, Careers and Money.
Yeah.
Not exactly the website I would go to get the latest news Windows 8. Yes, it is, because I'm interested in coupons. He's got a whole section for coupon codes. And in fact, his little graphic is a pig with a little a 1 cent coin. He's going to save his
also
pennies.
Also known as a penny. Okay.
He's a 1 cent coin. I don't use those anymore.
Yeah,
they're so off my radar.
Yeah,
anyway, I think it's great. So here's this guy who's obviously just a regular old dad, you know, writing about things he's passionate about. And Windows 8 and the love for Windows 8 is one of those things. And its graphic, I think, is really well done.
Yeah.
Also done in the Metro style.
Yeah, in the Metro
I'm
style.
I'm wondering
if he... And it has like
a
blue theme to it that looks, you know...
I'm wondering if he's a Microsoft employee.
I wonder, I don't know, Jason Frugal Dad doesn't seem to come up in the corporate directory.
I don't think so, because he's got a Google profile. So
I imagine quite a few Microsoft employees have those things.
What? Scandal.
I know, right?
Anyway, you guys should check out this graphic. It's super well done, and it's got some juicy information for it, and it's easy to read and quick to sort of scroll through.
Yeah, so should you ever want to get Laura Foy's attention, you know that leaving a comment is not going to do anything unless you're commenting on her.
Pictures.
How she looks.
Pictures, preferably that pop-up.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so in what has been suspected for a long time, it is now official, ESPN, ESPN2, a bunch of other ESPN networks will now be available through your Xbox service.
Boom!
Boom! So here's the thing, though. One, you have
to have
an Xbox Live Gold account, so you have to have access
got
that.
Yep.
And then here's the other thing, is you have to already have a cable service that gives you that you're paying for ESPN already.
Right.
So if anyone just has basic cable, where ESPN would not be a part of, you know, like what's that, 2 through 14? I don't know. You wouldn't get ESPN, and therefore you would not be able to get this service on your Xbox. So essentially, what they're telling me is that if you're already getting ESPN on your TV, now you can get it on your Xbox.
Yep. Yeah, I think that, you know, this is...
I guess that's cool.
Well, so, I mean, this was kind of similar to the content they already had on the Xbox through, like, ESPN3.com, where it would detect that you're coming from a internet service provider that is affiliated with one of the cable companies or one of the companies that does provide ESPN. So because I have Comcast Internet, I was able to get the ESPN3 content on my Xbox.
Right.
And I think that... You know, regardless of the limitations right now, there are going to be really interesting ways of getting this information. Like they had the split screen where you could be watching two things at once, and you could focus in on one. They also have a lot more of the interactive content where you can see scores, you can share information with your friends. Imagine once a smart glass comes out, there's going to be
tons of stuff.
Tons of really interesting ways to have this information presented and actually interact more with it.
Yeah, and I think the push here again is maybe not that this particular deal is, you know, breaking boundaries and, you know, people are throwing confetti, but it's just the fact that we are turning our Xbox more and more into a whole media integrated device, you know, that's really going to take over the living room. I think we talked about in an episode you weren't here for.
Get your Xbox on. Xbox, get on. Get your Xbox on. Xbox, get on. Get your Xbox on. Xbox, get on. Get your Xbox on.
Oh, really?
It was a really good episode.
So I think we talked about that a bunch, and I was here for most of them. But yeah, I mean, with 67 million Xboxes out there now, it's just...
And as soon as ESPN actually starts playing every single NFL football game so I can watch the Jets when I live on the West Coast, this would be really cool.
Well, they...
But until then,
they are,
DirecTV
owns it. Isn't that one of the things they announced at E3, where they're going to start having all the different, like, major sports?
If If ESPN is already broadcasting that game, then yeah. But ESPN doesn't broadcast live all the NFL games.
And it has to be live, okay.
It has to be live because otherwise I would know the score. I need to watch it live.
Right.
So I'm.
I see.
Come on, dude.
Well, I'm sure there can be like a live blog somewhere, like a Twitter.
No, I had to go out and get DirecTV. I had to get DirecTV because they're the only one that offers the Sunday ticket. It's a monopoly.
That's well. I mean,
unfair.
That's yeah. The. There are all sorts of things that I'm not going to say at this moment.
All right, that's it. All right, everybody, that about wraps it up for this. In fact, that does wrap it up for this week.
That does, that's it.
That's it. But I wanted to mention, if any of you were curious about Paul's coding skills and were wondering if they were up to par with those of the rest of you, you know, the developer audience, Paul has created a website. Paul has created a website, and this, I'm just going to put my mic here. Here, maybe we can, I don't know if we can see it, but Paul's created a website. This is it, and this is what it does.
Yeah, it's a super sad trombone. I made this as an experiment to see if I could do any type of HTML5 programming. And you're just racking it up. This works perfectly on mobile devices. So you
can
get out your Windows phone, you can do the Fruit phones, any of those other modern mobile devices. But one of the interesting things that I didn't realize is that if you open this up in the browser, you okay over there?
Yeah, I got it.
If you open this up in your mobile browser, when you close your phone, you can actually hit play and it plays this song, like this MP3.
It's not a song, Paul.
Oh, I mean, to me, it's music to my ears. Yeah. This is already going viral. It has like wonderful. All right, so if you want to go.
So everyone hit up Super Sad Trombone and play it to your
and
friends whenever they.
I have a killer feature coming out in like the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Is it secret?
It's super secret.
It's secret. So
but,
we'll
yeah,
stay
check it
tuned.
Out. Let me know if there's anything that you want on here or for whatever reason it doesn't work on your device and I'll fix it.
All right,
that's
see you next
it.
Time.
Check me out at Paul Ness. Yeah. Oh, that was a wreck.